For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included in the print version are omitted from this audio version. Ministerial responsibilities. Sermon preparation. A primary responsibility of a minister of the gospel is to preach the word of God. We are called and commissioned to present spiritual truth in a manner that will convince sinners and edify believers. And preparation for that vital task must begin long before we step behind the pulpit. Preaching is spiritual work. The message we present is drawn from a spiritual book. Paul advised the young minister Timothy, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." If we have a strong devotional life, giving ourselves consistently to study of the scriptures and prayer, the sermons will come. Our personal connection with God will give us the fuel that we need when it is time to prepare for a specific message. The art of preaching involves the careful selection and skillful blending of a multitude of elements. Since we are all unique in terms of our personal abilities, background, training, and experience, the method of preparation that works best for us individually may entail experimentation and will require development. The following review of principles of sermon preparation will be helpful. Note that in your individual approach, these steps may occur somewhat simultaneously or in a different order than listed. Pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more important than prayer as we begin and go through the process of sermon preparation. God is aware of the needs of those who will listen to our sermons, and He must direct us to the appropriate message for any given service. Each sermon should originate in the fertile heart of the preacher under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Choose the text. Choose the plainest text you can and keep it simple. It should be evident quickly where we are going with the text. It is best to avoid reading lengthy portions of Scripture. If we present the entire account at the outset of our sermon, we have forfeited our opportunity to relate the passage in our own words. Review the passage thoroughly. We should study our text intensively, reading it prayerfully and meditatively several times. Some ministers find it helpful to record thoughts that come to mind at this point, word meanings to research, or issues and ideas to explore. The most effective communication comes from our personal interaction with the Word of God. Study the context. We need to be completely familiar with the setting of the verse we have chosen as a text. This will keep us from suggesting a meaning or application that was not intended by the author. Commentaries, Bible dictionaries, or online research can offer the historical or cultural context of the passage, as well as information about the author, recipients, date, situation, culture, and geography. We should know the context and refer to it. Determine the central message or thesis for the sermon. It may help to ask ourselves, what timeless principle is brought out by the text? Once we define the central message, we can begin to build upon it. Notice that there is a difference between choosing a subject, for example, sin, and developing a central message or thesis statement, for example, sin is destructive, or sin always brings consequences. Expand the central message with supporting material. Some ministers find it helpful to develop 3 or 4 subpoints that support their central message, noting these in a brief outline format. For example, in a topical sermon, if our central message is sin is destructive, our subpoints might be 1. It destroys bodies, 2. It destroys families, 3. It destroys souls. Additional scriptures that amplify or support our subpoints can then be considered. Note appropriate illustrations. The illustrations and personal reflections we share should add understanding, insight, interest, and relevancy. We want to make sure these advance the direction of our message and add to the point they were chosen to support. A story for story's sake is not what preaching is about. Make a contemporary application. It is important to apply our chosen text to everyday life. As ministers, we live in two worlds, the ancient biblical world and our contemporary setting. We must connect these two in our sermons if our preaching is to be effective. It may help to ask ourselves, what would the Lord have me to accomplish with this sermon? Plan an introduction and the altar call. Our opener should not only present the text, but it should gain the audience's attention and preview our main idea before we get very far into the sermon. Toward the end of our message, we should summarize the central point and provide a sense of closure. We want to ensure that our final remarks lead to an altar call, where we invite the audience to act upon what we have delivered to them. The entire service should have been building to this point. Prepare a final outline. It may be helpful for us to make brief notes highlighting the central message and key supporting points. While we may at times wish to read a short quote or excerpt, our delivery will be most effective if our notes are highlights only and our delivery is extemporaneous rather than read. Perhaps the most important part of sermon preparation is keeping ever before us that our mission is to win souls for God. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We must realize that those who hear us will one day stand before God, and their eternal welfare may depend on their response after they have heard our message. May God help us to fulfill our calling to the very best of our ability. Counsel for ministers. No doubt every minister has pondered, what is the secret of real influence in the pulpit? What is it that inspires a congregation? What moves a sermon from mundane to memorable, from passable to powerful? Following are some suggestions which we should keep in mind as we approach the sacred task of preparing a message to present to the people. Keep the standard of victorious living without sin before the people at all times. Preach Jesus. Dwell on the topic of holiness often. One of the renowned preachers of a former day has said that he was more successful in bringing sinners to Christ by preaching holiness and entire sanctification than by any other topic or subject. We should remember that our mission, as ministers of the Apostolic Faith Organization, is to uphold the latter rain gospel message with which we have been entrusted. While we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, we are also aware that some passages are more obscure than others. Portions of Scripture that are unclear do not make good sermon topics. Nothing is gained when the congregation begins speculating about a line of reasoning that is vague or unsupportable by Scripture. The gospel is clear and simple. What we need to know for our eternal welfare is apparent in the Word of God. If we are not the pastor, we should not use our sermons to address matters the pastor should deal with. The pastor may be privately dealing with the situation, so it is not elevated to the point where the whole church knows the problem. Pray for him or her to have wisdom and direction from God as to when and how the matter should be approached. We should not attempt to preach beyond our experience. The sermon grows as the man grows. The man behind the sacred desk who has 30 years of experience in the ministry has earned the right to say some things that should not be said by a beginning minister. We should limit our topics to those we have earned the right to preach about by our experience and maturity. Our messages must be backed up by our lives. We must preach from inspiration rather than frustration, as frustrated preaching shows a lack of appreciation for the people in our audience. If we are frustrated about something, we must pray it through before we preach. And we should take care not to come across in a harsh or stern manner to our audience. They have no obligation to be there, and they might not be the next time if we leave them feeling battered and defeated. Care must be taken in how we preach on the Bible accounts of those who were physically and mentally impaired, so that we do not unwittingly show disrespect to members of our audience who have impairments. Physical blindness is used in the Bible to illustrate the more serious condition of spiritual blindness or sin, but we do not want to equate a blind person to a sinner. Nor will anything be gained by focusing at length on how terrible it would be to suffer from that impairment. Many people with disabilities have learned to function very well in spite of their handicaps, and may feel offended if we characterize their limitation as some sort of horrible tragedy. We should keep our audience in mind. Jesus was a master in using themes and word pictures that would directly relate to the lives of his hearers. Just as a farmer recognizes that certain crops will grow best in specific types of soil, we should be aware of the group to whom we will speak when we prayerfully choose our topics and illustrations.